guys hear me? All right, cool. You guys heard Jill and Steve mention Brent. So please be praying for him and Serena, who's taking care of him. She was actually supposed to preach today, but now you guys are stuck listening to me. So you're welcome. I'm excited. So a couple months ago, my wife Lauren and I, we decided, hey, I think it's about time that we do something as a married couple, something responsible, I guess, or irresponsible, depending on how you want to look at it. So we decided we were going to embark on the journey of getting a puppy. So yeah, that's our little dude. His name is Gibson. He is going to be 6 months next week. That was taken like a week ago. He's already doubled in size. No, I'm just kidding. So he's just the sweetest dog on the planet. But it's kind of fun, like enjoying and embarking on this journey with my wife. It's our first like married couple responsibility thing, right? The child before children, as people kind of joke around with us. But what's so fun about him, and this picture is going to come up a ton. You guys will get to see him. So every time it comes up, everybody just go, aw. Yeah, there we go. Perfect. But one of the cool things about having a puppy is not much, actually. they chew everything. He chews the couch, the carpet. He chews me. He pees inside sometimes. Not anymore. He got over that one. Thank God. But so there's so much in it. But there's also a ton of really awesome things in it. Like there's so much that he does. It's just so funny. It's just like, man, you're just a goofy animal. He brings so much joy and patience, and he teaches me patience, but so much love. But one of the things he also has taught me so much about in these last few months as I've been training him is this idea of forgiveness. And so we're working through our sermon series, Teach Us to Pray, working through the Lord's Prayer. And this week we get to look at the idea of forgiveness as well as deliverance from evil. And so you guys are probably wondering, what on earth are you going to tell me about puppy training that has to line up with forgiveness? And there's actually quite a bit of parallel on so many different levels, and even parallels on the side of the sermon that we'll get to later on deliverance from evil and temptation. And so I'm excited about this one. I hope you guys are excited because whether you like it, I mean, you can leave if you want. But we're going to dive into it. So Matthew 6 is where we're going to hang out today as our primary scripture. We're also just going to be bouncing around the Bible a ton. I've cheated already, and I have all the sticky notes, so I'll turn there way faster than the rest of you. But we'll have the references on the screen as well as the page numbers for these Bibles that we got here. But Matthew 6, we're actually going to start in verse 9 through 13. So Matthew 6. Verse 9 through 13 reads this. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And so we hear this as Jesus instructing his disciples, and they're asking him, Lord, like, how am I even supposed to pray? Like, I don't get it. And I've asked the same question too. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, they give you all the nice little spark notes, like, hey, pray like this. And, you know, it's, I don't know what the acronyms even are. I forgot them. They teach it to you in kids' church. Ask your kids when they get out, they'll tell you. But Jesus is instructing his disciples on, hey, here's how you pray. And so we've been going through all these different things, but this week we get to really zone in on verse 12 and 13. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So, puppy training. So within puppy training, I have found that there's two ways which forgiveness has come up for me. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, good. Thank you. You guys are listening earlier. All right, this will keep me awake. I wasn't expecting that, funny enough. So within puppy training, there have been two ways which forgiveness has come up, and I think it's even reflected in the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to kind of dissect this a little bit. So first off, forgive us our sins. So See, now I know I'm not the most perfect dog trainer in the world. I'm not a certified dog trainer by any means. I'm an absolute amateur. So even if you have dog questions, I probably don't actually know what I'm talking about. But puppy doesn't know that. He doesn't know that. And so I'm doing my best. And all I can ask for is, you know, forgiveness from other people as they have to deal, you know, come and visit and puppy jumps up on them. Oh, sorry. Like, he just doesn't know. See, he's learning and I'm not all that great. So I have to ask people, hey, forgive me. Like, sorry, he barked. He jumped up. He misbehaved somewhere. And that's okay. But anyone who has ever owned a pet also knows that your pets just have a keen sense to just get under your feet, don't they? Don't matter what you're doing, you can literally like wake up, and as soon as your feet hit the floor, they don't even touch the floor, they touch the dog. Like your animals just find a way to get under you. They get in the way. You could be lugging the groceries out, and then oops, there's puppy. It's all kinds of things. So I've stepped on him a handful of times. On accident, of course. Come on. But you're bound to step on your pets. It's bound to happen, right? We step on each other's toes all the time, whether on purpose or accidentally. But I've stepped on him a solid number of times, and he yelps. Right? You step on him, and it's like, hold on, that spooked me. But then what is the response from us? Oh! I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Pick him up and cradle him, and you sit on the floor. Oh, I'm so sorry, puppy. Right? You do the whole thing, and you're like, puppy, please forgive me. Are you okay? Right? And I think that this is one of those things of like, forgive us. What if we came to Jesus in that same posture when we recognized our sin, when we recognized the fact that we've fallen short of the glory of God, and we said, God, I'm so sorry. And we have that same kind of attitude, maybe not like on the puppy level, like, God, I'm so sorry. It's okay. You know, not that, but saying, God, I know I messed up. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And the good news for us is God responds in a similar way to how puppy responds. Right? You step on your pet and you do the whole thing. And then his response is just wag his tail. He wags his tail. He gives you kisses. And it's like as if nothing happened. Not to say that God is going to completely dismiss the things that we need to be forgiven of. But that he has that type of unconditional love that says, hey, regardless of how much you sin, you are still my child. And I still love you. And you are forgiven. And so that's one of those things in teaching puppy, you know, all these things. And he gets under my feet and I step on him on accident. I say, sorry, but his response is that's taught me a ton about forgiveness and how I respond to people. And don't want to make this like a forgiveness sermon because it's really easy to confuse that. But in seeing how he responds, I messed up. I did wrong by puppy in some way, but he just forgives me and he loves me. Right? And I wondered when I started thinking about this, what if we walked around the earth? What if we walked around our communities seeing everybody as God's loved and cherished creation? And we said, hey, even if you do wrong by me, I forgive you. And we have that level of patience in our heart that says, I forgive you. Right? Not to say we forget it. Don't forgive and forget. Remember those things because some of these things are serious and we need to remember them to establish boundaries and have good health. But what if we said, man, I forgive you and I'm not going to hold a grudge because I'm an imperfect person. You're an imperfect person. We're all just trying to figure this out together. And so in working with Puppy, I've found that, you know, his forgiveness of me when I asked him, Puppy, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? And he just wags his tail. And he gets, you know, kisses on the face. And he bites your arm or something. And you're like, you have puppy teeth. It's okay. But it's just this really interesting thing that I started thinking about when it relates to, you know, puppy training and how he's learning. And I'm working with him of an amateur dog trainer. I have no idea what I'm doing. I watched a YouTube video and I decided to get a dog. So it's just this cool thing. But from this first part of forgiveness, right? Forgive us. I think there's two things. Number one is we have to ask and acknowledge that we need to be forgiven. And I think that's why Jesus includes this in the Lord's Prayer. He says, give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Right? It's a two-way street. Every day we fall short of the glory of God. Every day we sin. And we must acknowledge this and run to our Father, pleading for forgiveness. Right? That's why he says, when you pray, pray like this. It's important. Acknowledge forgiveness. Accept the fact that we are forgiven. Again, not as an excuse to just go and do things and then ask for forgiveness and it's all okay. But to recognize that when we do fall short we have to have like that humility that says, I messed up. God, I'm sorry. There's a humility piece to it. And I'm like the number one culprit of not being humble. I figured it out a little bit, but still not. I'm the most narcissistic person on the planet. But I still ask for forgiveness because I know I need it. I know I need it. So again, number one, we have to ask and acknowledge that we need to be forgiven. And then number two, understand that God has already forgiven you. Understand God's already forgiven you. See, with our puppy, when the things would happen where like I accidentally step on him or I bonk him on the head with the groceries or whatever it is, his response is like that same response where it's like as if it never happened. See, God has that same response. It's almost as if it never happened. He acknowledges it, but the response is as if it didn't. God says when we come to him running and we're pleading for forgiveness, he doesn't say, oh, well, go back and sit in your shame and think about why you need to be forgiven. No, he doesn't do that. He goes and he grabs the ring. He grabs the robe. He grabs the fattened calf. He says, welcome home, my child. He grabs all that stuff and he gets going and he just loves us so much. You know, I think that this is just such a rad parallel, but we see this in Luke 15. Many of you have read this chapter, Luke 15, verse 11 through 31, reference on the screen. You can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read it. Verse 11 of Luke 15 says this, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in the wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him and the man sent him into the field to feed the pigs. Verse 16, the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And killed the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Verse 25, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told. And your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Now I read this, and it's a story. Yeah, it's scripture, but Jesus told it as a story. And so I hope you guys hear the story of a son who went off and he ran to his father saying, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. Forgive me. And his father responds, I bring in the robe, the ring, and the fattened calf. This has to be one of the greatest forgiveness stories on the planet. See, what if we got to a point where we forgive the way that a dog forgives a donor for stepping on it? Or the way that God forgives us when we run home to him and we say, God, I'm sorry, I'm here. I messed up. Please just take me back, even if it's as a mere servant. He says, my child, you're home. What if we responded that way? Moving on. Now, the second part about forgiveness that come up in puppy training and is reflected in the Lord's Prayer is as we forgive those who have sinned against us. As we forgive those who have sinned against us. So obviously, puppy, he's just a baby. He is just the sweetest little baby. Oh, man. I never get tired of that face. So obviously he's just a baby and he doesn't know what he doesn't know, right? It's like, it's just like, the naivety of him just going about his day. He does a ton of things that are just so, so frustrating. It's the chewing of everything. It's the going potty inside is chewing me. It's the scratches. The list goes on and on and on and on. There's so many things that puppy has done where I've had to forgive him. I've had to recognize that he just doesn't know and he's learning. He just doesn't know and he's learning. And so that's one of the things that we could pull out of this is, and I think there's a slide for it maybe. I saw him for the first time this morning. We're all learning and need grace. We're all learning and need grace. See, puppy, he's learning. I have to teach him. I have to be patient with him to show him the right ways of how to act, how to behave. Here's how to act in the house. Here's how to act and behave around food. Here's how to act and behave around people. And he's gonna fail. It's bound to happen. I'm just waiting for it to happen. But I don't sit there and say, oh, naughty, naughty, naughty. No, I wait for him to do the right thing. I said, oh, yes, good boy. Give him a treat. Good boy. Yes, good. Right? And we keep on going and on and on with these things. In comparison, this is tricky because, of course, right? People should just know. People should just know how to behave. They should know what not to do as to not sin against us, right? People should just know. Oh, man. The fact of the matter is that we're all still learning as well. In the grand scheme of time and where we fall in eternity, we're just a speck. We are a speck in God's entire plan. I think that with Puppy, he's stretched my patience, but also taught me that with people, like people sometimes just don't know. And so those who sin against me, I can't hold the grudge against them. Like, still remember it. It's not the forgive and forget thing. Still remember it, but recognize, like, hey, they're a work in progress, just like me. I'm still figuring this thing out. It's trickier to forgive people than puppy. Because can we put that picture back up? Yeah. It's so much trickier with people because it's so much easier to forgive a face like that. Some of y'all's faces. Now, let me tell you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But again, it's like, how can we not forgive that face? And I think that God looks at us in the same way that we look at this puppy. He looks at us and he says, man, how can I not forgive you, my perfect masterpiece of a creation? He looks at us the same way. What if we looked at everybody else as God's perfect masterpiece? I said, man, I can forgive a face like that. I can forgive a sinner like that. I can forgive someone who's done me wrong like that. I can forgive that. The number two of the 3 points that were just coming up. One, we're all learning and need grace. Two, we need to have patience. We just need patience. Right? It takes time, especially with a puppy. How many times has he peed in the carpet? Oh my goodness, too many times. That's how many times. But it's like having the patience to say, all right, I just got to clean it up again. I'm not going to scold him for it. I'll just take him back outside and teach him what's right. But it's the patience in there to be able to forgive, to see and recognize and not get so angry and flustered. It's so easy when puppy starts peeing on the carpet, go, hey, you know, stick his nose in it or whatever it is. And that's mean. It's not nice. Sometimes it's necessary, but we need to have patience to say, hey, no. You'll pick him up and they run outside. All right, stop peeing. And it's all over you. You'll put him on the grass outside, right? We have to have the patience of that. I mean, I'm sure some of you who are parents and have had babies, I'm sure you've gotten baby poop on you at some point. I'm sure. I don't have kids, so I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. But there's patience with babies. What about patience with each other? Patience with adults? Patience with God? Patience to wait on God to say, hey, I'm here. Here's your answer. I know you've been waiting 5 years for it, but here's your answer. Patience. It's so critical. And then the third one that's up there, let's see. Sometimes we're wrong. Hey. Anyone like to be wrong? Yeah, I thought so. We have to acknowledge sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we're in the wrong, and that's okay. So as we pray for forgiveness, let's consider these things. Consider all these things here that we're learning and need grace, that we need to have patience, that sometimes we might actually be wrong. Sometimes we just need to go get the ring and the robe and forgive the way that he forgave us. Now, the next piece that we get to talk about through the Lord's Prayer is don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. That's verse 13, I believe. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Temptation and the evil one is a real thing that everybody's got to face. Everyone's got to deal with it. Making it all that much more important that we ask God for help in navigating. Now, one of the things that I did in college is we studied God and just his character and some of the things about him. There's a bunch of weird, crazy, big scholarly words. I'm going to teach you one. The word for that we're going to use today is omniscient. Everyone say omniscient. Omniscient. Omniscient means knowing everything. So God is all knowing, right? And then there's a bunch of other omni words that don't really matter for today. But God is all knowing. He knows everything. And I don't know about you, but when I'm learning, when I'm trying to figure things out, I want to talk to somebody who knows everything, who knows better than I do. Anyone think that they know better than God? Yeah, I thought so. That's good. God's omniscient. And so, geez, man, like, let us learn and receive direction from the one who knows everything. Let's run to him and say, God, teach me, show me. I don't understand this. Like, help me get it. Help me understand. I'm getting like a weird ring back here, so I'm going to move forward a little. But teach me. Like, I want to learn from the one who knows all things, who knows better than I do. And another parallel to dog training. With puppy, he gets tempted by everything. Oh, yeah. So cute, man. Never get tired of it. Oh, I love that picture. Okay. But with puppy, he gets tempted by everything. We go outside. There's sticks. There's like cat poop. There's cats. There's squirrels. There's people. There's cars. There's trash. There's literally everything. And guess who wants to go explore it all and put it in his mouth? Ew, gross. Stop. But he does it. He gets distracted by everything. He gets tempted by everything. Same as us. anyone else is like, you'd just be talking, you're like, oh, look at that squirrel over there. That's nice. Oh, wow. Look at that red car, right? We're distracted people, but we also get distracted by temptation, the things of sin. It's like, whoa, man, I could do better than that. Right? And that's our pride coming out. We walk around daily, as scripture says, in lust at some point. Right? We could lust over food and say, oh, I'm so hungry, I would just kill for a burger. Right? And some, that's a little bit of gluttony, it's also some lust. But like we could look at people and be like, wow, that's a really attractive person, you know, whatever it is. But it's acknowledging and seeing that we get tempted almost just as easily as puppy. It just gets tempted by different things. For him, he's developing and he's growing. Everything's happening so fast for him. His brain is changing. His body's like a different shape every day. But he's also learning in all of this. As he's learning to navigate the world, he's learning to look to me as his handler for direction. Same as us. When we are out in the world, when we're going through life and we're trying to figure this thing out, we should also be looking to God as our master to direct us and show us a clear path. We gotta keep make these parallels here. It's like this dog, he's looking to me and he's understanding, hey, this guy provides. I wanna eat, I better behave for this dude. There he is. I'll make sure he eats, but it's just a matter of when. So it's usually never on time as far as he's concerned. But if it was up to puppy, he would just go and put everything in his mouth. He would go and eat it all, ignore everything I'm telling him. But he knows me as provider. He knows me as provider. And because of that, he's learning to listen to me when I instruct him to do something or not do something. For puppy, I got to continually lead and guide him on the right path. Teach him the right ways. Teach him how to behave around people. Behave in the house, etc. For us, we have to continually let God lead and guide us on the right path. Teach us how to behave around people. Teach us how to behave in his house and in the world. We're called to live in the world, but not of the world. Live in the world, but not of the world. Look to God for guidance. Look to God for instruction. Because he's going to make your path clear and straight. He's going to provide that. See, just as I expect for my puppy to trust in me and not just go about life all willy-nilly how he understands it, I think God, he desires for us to run to him and seek his understanding. Because our understanding is skewed. Our understanding is all messed up. Proverbs 3:5-6, another verse you guys probably know, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Submit to him. I think there's a third bullet point that's supposed to be around here. Yeah, God desires for us to run to him and seek his understanding. He desires us to run to him, seek his understanding. Because if it's up to us, oh boy, we're in trouble. If it's up to us and our understanding, we're just going to be in sin all the time. But run to him, get in his presence, fall at the foot of the cross and say, God, I'm here. Forgive me. And lead me. As we pray to be led from temptation, delivered from evil, we have to be okay with not knowing some things. We have to be okay with giving up control and saying, God, you are ultimately in control. We have to be okay with the fact that God could indeed just be working things out for our good, and we just don't know it yet. The Bible also says in Philippians 1:6, that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. In asking for deliverance from evil and for him to yield us from temptation, you have to understand that we are a work in progress. That God who began the good work within you will continue his work. He'll continue his work until it's finally finished. Like an incomplete puzzle. We're just getting the pieces put back together. Little piece here, little piece here. It's just like puppy training. Little thing here,
leads to this here, right? It's like teaching him to sit. It's like, why am I teaching him to sit? Well, that's the baseline of everything else that we're doing. You want to go through that door? You better sit your butt down. You want to go see somebody? You better sit your butt down. You want to eat? Sit, right? It's the baseline of everything. And while we might not understand what's going on, similar puppy, he doesn't know why I'm making him sit. He just knows he's got to do it and he'll get food. We might not understand that God just has us somewhere and there's something so much greater to come. We just don't even see yet. You guys see where I'm going with this? It's like there's these super rad parallels of owning a dog and training a dog. But God, he has us as a work in progress. And even though we're a work in progress, he still calls us his masterpiece. But again, like this is one of those interesting things, because God, he just won't magically make you prone to temptation. It's not a, hey, God, yield me from temptation. Keep me from it. And then poof, you're never tempted again. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Oh, man. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not just going to make us prone to temptation. We're going to still be tempted. We're still going to struggle with these things. We have to be compliant and show that we want deliverance through our actions. Let our actions be reflected by our prayers. I've heard Scott say it like, as you pray, so you shall live. Right? As you pray, so you shall live. So if we're praying, God, deliver me from evil, yield my heart from temptation, and we got to do some work as well. We got to say, hey, I recognize when I start getting tempted. Start coming up with systems. Hey, when I start getting tempted, I then have to do this to stay away from it. For me, when I was navigating a bunch of stuff as a teenager, one of the things was sexual sin for me, like when I was like 14, 15, 16, 17, almost 18. But one of those things was I had to recognize, hey, here's my trigger. I see it. Triggered. But then what's my response there? I can either act on what I'm seeing, act on my temptation, go towards temptation, or I can say, there's temptation. We're called to repent, right? And I say, there's temptation. Holy cow, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you right now. I need you to show up in me. And as I am walking away, God, would you do the work in my heart to make me not turn back? As I see this temptation, as I see for puppy, as I see the stick on the ground, and I want it so bad, would I recognize that, hey, there might actually be something so much better with my master over here? And I'm going to walk back to my master. And when you get to your master, he says, oh, yes, good boy. Treat, 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 pets, pets, pets. Things are so much better with our master, with our Lord, with our Savior. And so, yeah, ask for deliverance from sin. Ask for deliverance from temptation. But also recognize that we have a role in it as well. Let God partner with you. Ask him for direction. Ask him for guidance. Because he will show up. He will show up. So now back to this forgiveness piece, because I think forgiveness is a big thing that's coming out of today. This is kind of sort of my last point. We'll see how quick it goes. Who knows? Scott usually preaches 20 minutes longer than me, so it's okay. Forgiveness is a tricky thing. Forgiveness is a tricky thing. And I've heard it said before that we can't forgive others unless we have accepted forgiveness first. Right? It's tough to forgive others. It is. Because we're selfish. We have emotions that feel so deeply, right? And we say, man, you really did wrong by me. You see in the movies, I'll never forgive you. Right? And then the end of the movie, they make up and they figure it out. For some of us, There may actually be some unforgiveness still sitting in our hearts that we need to address. There might be some stuff that we're saying, hey, I've got one of those people. One of those, I will never forgive you. That's okay. Not to say forget it. Don't forgive and forget. Forgive and love. Forgive and love. Maybe these things, you know, it's something that we just need to lay down at the foot of the cross and ask God, God, forgive me. Forgive me as I forgive those who've sinned against me. that he would yield us from the temptation to hold on to unforgiveness and rescue us from the evil one. I want to close in reading another forgiveness story, and I think it's really kind of cool. And it comes out of John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Jesus has taken the cross. He's died. He's risen. He showed up to some of his disciples by this point. But John 21 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. John 21, this is what it says. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." Let me stop right there. Gentlemen, if you guys ever need an excuse to go fishing and your wife doesn't want to let you, just say, "Hey, it's in Scripture. I'm going fishing." Okay, let's keep going. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with him, the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Verse 12, "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You're omniscient. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, John, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during the supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him? What about him, Lord?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. That isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This disciple is the one who testifies to these events and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. And now I read this chapter to you guys, and this is the last thing. I read this because we all know Peter, or most of us know Peter. Peter's a mess. We can remember the charcoal fire that Jesus was sitting around here. Same type of fire that Peter was around when he denied Jesus three times. making a connection for Peter. This smells familiar. He recognizes that Peter completely sinned against him, completely did wrong by Jesus, made eye contact with Jesus when the rooster crowed, and they made eye contact. And Peter still said, "I don't know him." Peter still said, "I don't know him." But Jesus has this level of forgiveness, this level of understanding that knows the greater plan. He knows Peter is a work in progress. He knows he's a work in progress. And so he recreates the same miracle that he first called Peter with. Remember early in the Gospels, when Jesus calls his first disciples, he finds them on the Sea of Galilee fishing. He says, "Throw your net on the other side." And they get this haul of fish. It's way too heavy, way too much. They can't even haul it in. It's recreating this miracle for Peter so that he has another chance to follow. So that he doesn't have to live in his sin. He doesn't have to live in the fact that he feels he can't be forgiven. Because I'm sure he felt that. "Man, I just did so wrong by Jesus. How could he ever forgive me?" But he recognized the man on the shore as Lord. I wonder if for us, when we're out fishing, when we're out doing the thing, and we're sitting in our unforgiveness, we feel like we can't be forgiven. Are our eyes just down in the water, just looking, seeing at all the fish we're not catching, or are our eyes up, looking for Jesus on the shore? And when we see him, are we willing to jump out the boat, 100 yards out, to run to him? Put on more clothes to swim to get to him. That doesn't make any sense. But Peter did it anyway. Because Peter knew the love that Jesus had for him. Same with puppy. Let's throw that picture up of puppy one more time. I just love this picture. Oh, so good. Same with puppy. He's learning. And even when he gets it wrong, and he does whatever he does. You know how dogs are when you start guilt tripping a dog and they do the whole, like, you know, ears back, tail tucked, and they're like, don't even look at you. He knows. He's learning that I still love him regardless. He's learning that I forgive him for when he pees in the house and then pees on me on the way out. And I'm learning to forgive him for all the things that he's doing. Friends, forgiveness is tricky. Deliverance from evil is tricky. It's all this crazy thing. But in being taught to pray, my hope and my prayer is that we would learn from him. That we would run to Jesus and say, "Jesus, would you teach me to pray? I don't need no acronyms to help me out with this. Lord, just show me how." Because there's no acronyms on the planet that could ever reflect the fullness of how he wants to pray. And so, in closing, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Because this is how he taught his disciples to pray. So, all together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Father, thank you for today. Thank you for forgiving us, for keeping us as best you can away from temptation and sin. Lord, we know that we're imperfect. We know we're a work in progress. And so I pray that as we navigate these things, as we learn about the world, as we are curious in figuring this out, Lord, that you would just give us direction, that you would provide for us a wisdom that surpasses all wisdom, a knowledge that surpasses all knowledge, that, Lord, you would show up in our lives and give us the tools that we need to not only pray to you, but to worship you, to follow you, and to bow in reverence to you. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of it all. You're worthy of our praise. And God, we're just lucky to be loved by you. Father, thank you for sending your Son, for forgiving us, for loving us. Lord Jesus, you are the best. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.